Yo, Short Box Nation, this is Botter clocking in with a very quick announcement to make before we get on with the show. I'll be in Chicago attending C2E2, and if you'll be in Chicago attending the convention too, it means that you have a very unique opportunity to attend a live podcast show like never before. I'll be hosting a comic podcast crossover live show on Friday, April 26th. I'm going to be joined by very good friends of the show and frequent guest co-hosts like Chris Hacker from the Oblivion Bar podcast and Greg Ligtig from the First Issue Club. We're recording a live podcast show that's celebrating the best comics of the year so far. We're going to talk about the creators that are absolutely crushing it. And considering the people involved with the panel, you can expect a great time. You can expect the typical brand of comedy and entertainment. If you ever heard any of the other episodes where Chris and Greg have been guest co-hosts, you can expect that on steroids. So once again, if you're attending C2E2 this weekend and you're looking for something to do or you need a break from the convention floor and standing in lines, I highly encourage you to come sit in for this live podcast show taking place the Friday morning of the convention at 11:15 a.m. I'll have links to the room and the rest of the panel information in the show notes. So check that out if you'll be in Chicago. Come on out, sit in on the panel, and have a good time. Hopefully I get to meet you. With that being said, let's get this show started.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Short Box Podcast, Season 7.
The Short Box Podcast was recorded before a live internet audience.
So for Icebreaker, I sent you guys that article about WandaVision success leading to a lot more people wanting to read like the source material and Marvel dropping the ball as far as producing enough copies of like the Vision Scarlet Witch series, I think. Just a whole bunch of like related comic books that they should have had. Like,
they're usually on top of that stuff.
Are they?
Yeah.
Sound like they always had like an...
There's always a Or think like about when Logan came out, how the hardcover of Frank Miller's Wolverine and Chris Claremont came, like there's a million.
Or even like those dollar, even like when New Mutants came out. Wow, I felt crazy. Echo. When New Mutants came out, they put out that like those dollar, you know, that magic.
Yep.
Part one of that miniseries.
Yep.
So yeah, they usually supplement the releases with, you know, material.
Strange.
Reprints. Yeah.
Well, this was not the case for this. I think there was a lot of comic shops that were kind of left empty-handed that had, like, new readers wanted to come in and buy these books and read these stories. But, you know, they didn't have it, I think, at that publisher level.
Yeah, I feel like that at Disney Parks, though, that all the shops were stocked with those stuff.
Oh, for sure. And selling them for triple the MSRP. So it got
sticker value.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a sticker over the price. Yeah.
Yes, I'd like the Kelly Blue Book, this issue of Vision Quest.
It's like, we don't take...
That's $24,000.
So it got me to thinking... like, what are some, like, out-of-print or never even printed comic series that you guys want to see brought back? Or maybe there's, like, comic series that the publisher isn't printing anymore, but they go for way too much by a third party and eBay, like, folks out there. Are there any comics that come to mind with that?
So, whenever we did our Silver Surfer pilot's license, you guys were talking about the Stanley Mobius Silver Surfer parable. So... usually, like, I went on Amazon, and the only copies I could find were used. And they weren't that crazy, but I want, like a fresh one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like a used one, because sometimes they stink and smell like people's houses.
It's like bugs in them.
Oh, you don't like the old, like, comic book smell?
It doesn't always smell like a comic book. Sometimes it smells like Doritos and ass.
Cigarette smoke.
There's just, like, a random hair in the pages.
That's the last thing you want to see is fucking Silver Surfer like, I am Norrin Rad, the former Herald of Galactus. And all of a sudden there's a fucking pube like wiggling right there next to him. Behold the devourer of worlds. Pube.
Ashley wants it fresh off the printer. And so like, they've never like re-released that as like a what's Cesar's from this thing? Ultra Jizz 9000 version?
That's not...
Oh! No.
Yeah, what did you say, Cesar? Yeah,
I said something family friendly. Yes, the Ultra Jizz 9000 version.
I don't know.
That's a t-shirt. That's a t-shirt idea.
I guess. Oh, we'll put it up. Just and Botter's in charge of that one.
He loves it.
I don't think you guys want to see me draw on the shirt.
It's just a squiggly pube.
You're right. See, Ashley, were you done here. Ashley, were you done? Was it just parable?
Oh, my God.
Parable.
I am.
That's what I said.
I'm done. Also, I would like to welcome any coworkers that didn't know I was on the podcast.
Yes.
That just found this out is this your past first episode. Week. I apologize if this is your first episode.
Off to a great start.
Hi, Ashley's coworkers.
That is awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yo, I want to shout out to all my old bosses that can't fire me no more. Yo, welcome to the show, baby.
All right, yeah, I'm done. Mm.
Ed, what about you? Was there any comic books out there?
You.
Yeah, I know. I'm skipping stuff.
Okay.
Ed's eyes got so wide.
Yeah, we're just warming up. It's icebreaker. Okay, man.
I want to see, like, and these are kind of expensive. I would love to see. I don't know who has the rights to this now. If Mark Schultz still has the rights, but a reprinting of all the Cadillacs and Dinosaurs comics.
Good fucking call.
Yeah, because they went from Kitchen Sink Press to Topps, and there's like I said, it had like a very crazy. Like a video game, toys, and a cartoon for a very, it was a flash. It became like a really hot property, but the comics are never been reprinted. I think the last reprinting was maybe, it's probably maybe 9 or 10 years ago. And I know, like I said, they did a top series without Mark Schultz, but it was Dick Giordano drawing it, which put it all together in one big volume. I'll buy it.
What about you? See, what books are out there that you're still waiting on a reprint?
This is kind of a weird one, but I don't think I've seen a reprint of the Cam Kennedy Dark Empire that Dark Horse did. It was basically like it takes place like right after Return of the Jedi, and they use a lot of that shit. It's like old school expanded universe. But Rick Veitch and Cam Kennedy did it together, and it's fucking amazing.
Rick Veitch doing Star Wars. That's
dude. It's so crazy. Good.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that sounds pretty epic.
They've done another book that's really good. Cam Kennedy, I know for sure, did a Punisher book that's fucking really weird because it's fucking Cam Kennedy. But it's like, I think it takes place in Ireland. Just bizarre.
Is Marvel doing anything with those Dark Horse?
I have no idea.
Star Wars? Have they reprinted them?
They put some of them on the Marvel app, right, Botter?
I'd have to double check. I can check on
do
on
it break. Now.
But
we'll
I,
wait. We're waiting.
The only ones that came to mind for me or immediately was Astro City.
I thought you were going to be like, you know, Spider-Man. I've never seen any of those. And you guys ever see those? There's a little indie comic called Uncanny X-Men.
I need another volume of Clone Saga out there, right? I just can't get enough of the collections.
Oh,
but Astro City comes to mind. The Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross and Brent Anderson comics. I know that... I think the property was kind of like in limbo. I think it's like back with DC now, or they've got.
I thought Image was putting them out.
It was Image before,
yeah.
Okay,
and then Wildstorm scooped them up.
Okay,
and after which that,
I think it would make sense.
But he's still okay. Yeah,
and I don't know.
Would he still have the rights if they started an Image though? Would be his
Kurt Busiek?
Busiek?
I don't know.
Okay.
When I looked up Astro City, you know, reprints, there was a few hits that I got from like 2018 where they were teasing like, hey, we're going to republish these into like new trade paperbacks and things like that. I saw on Amazon there is a listing for a new version of the Volume 1, Life in the Big City, right?
Yep.
Life in the Big City. That's coming out actually like later this month. So that was like really good timing. But there is a bunch of the other volumes that never got a reprint outside of like that initial release. And they're not too crazy on like the aftermarket. You know, you can buy them for, you know, 10, 15 bucks from various sellers. But as far as like from the main publisher, I don't think they've done anything fancy.
Yeah, I've read rumors too. It's I think Viz put out when they put out Fist of the North Star in the 80s. There is rumors that that is going to be reprinted soon.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Or
show?
I didn't even know the show. I probably have seen the movie.
Movies. The live action movie?
No. The animated.
Oh, the card. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I kind of vividly remember seeing a scene or two and then my dad's hands immediately covering my eyes.
You're not ready for this yet.
Yeah. Go to your room, boy.
That was Wicked City.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right. Ashley, permission to start the show, please.
Oh.
What the fuck?
No, it's my new thing. You know, like, I've been tossing to Ashley. Ashley, you ready to start?
What's going on here, dude?
So weird right now. It's like Botter got written up for HR.
This is what happens when we don't have production meetings.
Well, here's what happened is that somebody complained to the HRO, and now Botter's on his P's and Q's. And the odd thing was it wasn't Ashley. It was me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Betrayal.
Damn, see?
I was like, there's been a lot of weird things. Mm-hmm. Botter's been trying to sneaky spider up my leg.
Inappropriate.
Yo, this is Botter. Sorry for interrupting this episode, but I'll keep it brief. I wanted to let you know about a massive sale we have going on over at the Short Box Store on all of our merchandise and apparel. That's theshortboxstore.bigcartel.com. You can now save 20% off your entire order using the discount code YO, Y-O-O. So if you've been waiting for the right time to finally buy that gauntlet snapback, or if you ever wanted to buy any of the shirts you see me wear on the podcast, well, now's your chance to get them for a steal. We still have a few sizes left of everything, but they won't last long, and once they're gone, they are gone. And then I mentioned that all of our apparel is screen printed on high quality material. None of that heat transfer or direct to garment stuff. Our shirts are some of the most comfortable ones you'll ever wear, and the hats look even better in person. So wear your support for the Short Box Nation proudly, knowing that you're going to look damn good doing it. Get to theshortboxstore.bigcartel.com as soon as you can, and don't forget to use that discount code YO, Y-O-O, to save 20% off your entire order. All of this information can be found in this episode's show notes if you want to get there faster. Thanks for not pressing fast forward. Now back to the show.
Yo, I hate you guys. Except for Ashley. Except for Ashley. All right. We're going to kick it off. Yo, Short Box Nation. Welcome to episode 316. Returning listeners, welcome back. New friends and first timers, welcome to
Short
Box.
We're sorry. Welcome.
Yo, new friends. Yo, welcome to the Short Box. Man, we're happy to have you. My name is Botter Milligan. I'll be your host for this episode. This is probably old news for a lot of you that tune in on a regular basis, but you know, for our new friends, here at the Short Box, we specialize in a few things. We love to talk about comic books. We love recommending worthwhile entertainment, and we occasionally interview the best creators in comics. And thanks to our Patreon subscribers and the upcoming Falcon and Winter Soldier series. This week, we're analyzing the 2003 comic series Truth, Red, White, and Black, written by Robert Morales and drawn by Kyle Baker. It's the comic that follows a battalion of black soldiers who undergo experiments in an attempt to recreate the super soldier serum that previously turned Steve Rogers into Captain America. But before we get into that, I'd like to introduce my panel of longtime friends and co-hosts here with me in the Short Box studio, starting with my right-hand man, Cesar Cordero.
Hey!
Oh, boy.
What are you, Catherine Hahn?
And I killed Sparky, too.
Next up on the mic is everyone's favorite art-making robot, the Edbot 5000. Yo. Mr. Edmund Danzart's here with
us. Hello.
And what kind of show would this be if the Short Box Nation fan favorite co-host wasn't involved? Miss Ashley Lanny Hoy is here with us.
Hello.
See, that one was like tame.
I feel like...
That was HR appropriate, right?
This is uncomfortable.
Why are you asking me?
Actually, who would be HR in this case? Would it be like? I thought we decided HR Ashley a while back.
The problem is no one.
Huh. Yeah, that's the big problem.
We need a third party.
We don't have an HR department. We'd all get fired.
How about this? Hear me out. What if HR was Andrew?
he would get mad that we weren't saying more offensive things.
Oh my God.
You're right. He'd be like, Botter calls you what? No, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll take care of this. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yo, quick question. Was this anyone's first time reading Truth, Red, White, and Black?
It was mine too. Yeah.
Okay.
Never. Ed, you own like the original.
I have them with me if you want to see them. I got them when they came out.
You know, speaking about comics that are long out of print, I think this story here, Red, White, and Black, has not had like another release since the OG.
I think they did a trade, but it hasn't been. I was looking for, because I'd like to have it as a book, but I don't think that has been in print in a long time, except when they did that, they put it on the Marvel app when they did the Black History Month with all the
titles. Yeah. Where it was like what, and that was like last year, right? It was 70 titles from black creators were put on Marvel Unlimited for free reading. I think like just general, I think anyone could just go on there and read it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right, my man.
Thank you, Tyson.
Yeah, but you know, if it was called something else, it'd be there all year. You know what I'm saying? More like truth, white, white, and white. You know what I mean? Yo, fuck you.
Cesar's got his ice.
Family
head on
friendly.
This
Cesar, family friendly.
Hi, Ashley's coworkers, once again. All right, look, before we start the comic spotlight, let's give some recognition to the people who help us keep the lights on. Starting with the comic shop and a proud sponsor of this show, Gotham City Limit, Jacksonville's premier place for comics, toys, collectibles, and more. Look, if you live in the area or if you ever find yourself passing through Jacksonville, you'll stop by the shop on Southside Boulevard and tell them, hey, the short box sent me. Lastly, we want to spotlight the best patrons a podcast could ask for. And that's our Patreon subscribers.
Yes.
Without them, we could not maintain and grow the show.
Preach.
Without their help. And you know what? They helped us pick the topic for this week. What? So if you want to be counted among... Yeah, it doesn't got to fade in. It doesn't got to fade in. I'm sorry. I'm still working
this
on the
is why we need. This is why we need your support, ladies and gentlemen. We can't even afford
our
sound effects that last the whole way through.
Effects budget.
Like, you literally heard the sound come out of that effect. So if you would, for just $10,000 a day, you can support the Short Box
And that's
podcast.
A steal.
And any podcast.
I mean, that's
steal.
A steal. But but look, if you want to be counted among the Short Box elite, consider joining our Patreon community and, you know, enjoy the good stuff. I'm not saying that our weekly shows aren't the good stuff.
Clearly.
But if you want the top shelf, really good stuff.
With the full sound effects.
What a great episode. It's a great episode for that disclaimer, for sure.
If you want the good stuff, visit patreon.com/theshortbox or click the link in the show notes. Let's give it one more time for our sponsor and patrons.
Yes, thank you.
Get
for those that
started.
Put up with this. Thank you so much.
You know, it's just, hey, we're having a good time, you know, feeling loosey-goosey. And I've only got water in this cup, which is, you know,
lies.
Doesn't lie. So I'm going to look to you, man. In a few words, can you kind of help us recap the story, this comic book here, Truth, Red, White, and Black, for listeners unfamiliar with the comic book? Maybe give us some highlights or plot points.
Sure. So you kind of already touched on it in the beginning, but in more or less, the story kind of focuses on a regiment of black soldiers, basically during World War II, who kind of get voluntold to take part in basically the super soldier program that created Captain America. Problem is that a lot of that stuff that they get injected with reacts in a very negative way, unpredictable and to death in some cases. And it's also kind of like, we're going to talk about it a little more, but this is almost a non-controversy book, in my opinion. Like, I don't think this is as a controversial a book as people make it, because Marvel's always kind of been about social justice, and having a comic book, and this is an eagle eye sort of viewpoint of it, having a comic book that basically takes a mirror and shows it to society and just says, this is the mirror. I'm not doing anything else. I'm just showing you a mirror, how you feel about it. It's your thing. This comic kind of does that. So I would say it's pretty cool. You've got three of the main focal characters. You have Isaiah Bradley, Maurice Cantfield, and Lucas Evans. So it kind of reexamines a lot of the stuff that happens in the original Captain America story told through the lens of the Tuskegee experiments. So,
Ashley, did you like it? Did it respect your time?
I think that's a hard question, because I did not enjoy reading this.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of a setup question. Like, it's like, because if she says no, and it's like, you fucking racist, how come you didn't like, you know, it's like, which we're going to say anyway.
But, if you didn't like it, you're racist.
I was not, for the record, I was not setting you up. Actually, I was generally curious. Did you like
mad
it?
Mad setup.
So no, it reminds me, like, I remember having an argument at a wedding about
Captain America?
Ghost Rider versus Schindler's List.
Huh.
And I was like, yeah, of course I would rather watch Ghost Rider than Schindler's List. Like, of course it's a very important movie.
Who's fighting? Who do you talk to?
Just a drunk person.
Is this part of the vows? This isn't your wedding. Oh, okay.
Like, this is an important book. Like, it's important to read. It didn't waste my time. I did not want to research the Tuskegee experiments. Like, that's not what I wanted to do on a Saturday night, but I think it's important to know. Like, the knowledge is important. So overall, like, I don't want to read this again, but I'm glad that I did.
Right.
I mean, I had the same kind of feeling.
Yeah, I haven't read it in 18 years, so. Yeah. And I have the books.
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of rereadability.
Yeah.
Yeah, this ain't really, you know, a lot of people read comics to escape, you know, reality and, you know, kind of have like a good time and fun. This was,
not a fun journey.
Not a fun read.
Yeah, when I was rereading it too, it's heavy just stuff. Like mm-hmm. gut punch after gut punch after gut punch, and then relentless. Like, this is just, oh my God, yeah, it's just gut punch after gut punch reading this. And I was like, oh man, this really bummed me out.
And Ed, did you read this when it first released? I'm assuming so, because you have the original issues.
I seen Kyle Baker's work before, which is way different than this at that time, and then I saw his name on this, and I saw the image, that bold, that number one issue image. And back then I wasn't reading a lot, but you know, I would grab a previews and like, oh, that looks cool, and just that looks cool. And that was one of the few series even then that I got every issue, because it's like, this is, I can't believe that at that time I was like, man, I can't believe they published this. This is like their, you know, Captain America. I think that was a lot of the controversy at first, was they thought they were going after Captain America, which is not the case when you read those last two issues. But just kind of presenting this, you know, like I said, you have this really positive, bright character, and like, was it who Rupert Thorne says, the brighter the picture, the darker the negative.
God damn, I live my life by that fucking statement. I'm not even kidding.
So you see the dark side of this super serum. You see the dark side of, and this is a lot of historically accurate information that is, you know, the victor writes the history books. So we get to see a lot of the darkness that, you know, wasn't just white hats, black hats, or good guys versus bad guys. There's lots of gray area in there, and it really exposes that.
Yeah. Well said. And Kyle Baker, I'll be honest. So Robert Morales, he doesn't have like a long comic book, you know, lineage or contributions. Like, he wrote this, and then he also wrote a couple of issues of a 2004 Captain America series.
Yeah, I think he was He did a lot of editorial work.
Yeah, I think Vibe. Like, he was more on like editorial, like magazines, Vibe magazines, and another one that I can't recall off the top of my head. So I mean, he was kind of new to comic books when he was given this idea, because I think this is more of like Alex Alonso, who was the who was just an editor at the time. He didn't become an EIC until I think 2011. So he was just an editor at the time. He had this idea of combining like the Tuskegee experiment with like Captain America. He pitched it to Joe Quesada, who I believe was the EIC at the time. Robert Morales' name came up. I think he was just a fan of his writing. And then that's kind of how that got going. But Kyle Baker, I will, you know, admit, I was not familiar with his work prior to this. And when I looked him up, you know, I saw that he had, you know, he was well known for his Plastic Man series. And he was, yo, the amount of awards he's got, man, like 6 or 7 Harveys, like another few Eisners, like a bunch of stuff. Ed, you had brought in, I think, what, one of his first works, right?
It's when he started getting more into comics. I got King David, which was my first exposure to his work, which is basically the retelling of the Old Testament King David, biblically accurate. And the stuff that I've read before, Truth, he has like a very dry sense of humor, but very dynamic, very, like I said, he has that kind of old school cartooning and animation background, and you can see kind of that fluidity in his work. And like I said, he's done a lot of, there's another one that I'll have to bring in called Special Forces, which is like basically how the military would kind of, you know, go after like, you know, people with criminal records and things and recruit, or with mental issues, and kind of recruit them into this war. And it's like a crazy satire, over the top satire that came out maybe 15 years ago or so. But yeah, he's still doing a lot of work. I think he does mostly behind the scenes, like production stuff, more than actual comics, but he has got a pretty interesting career. He like interned at Marvel when he was a kid.
Wow.
He just got into the industry like that. He did animated video for KRS-One back in the day.
Damn, that's really cool.
So yeah, he's been out there, but he's not like a name that pops, you know, that's like, you know, Jim Lee or McFarlane. Yeah. He doesn't pop up there.
I definitely want to read, look into more of his other work, because I thought his artwork is probably the best aspect of this, because it added so much like levity to such a heavy story.
It's,
you know,
a spoonful of sugar for this, you know,
yo, for really sure, heavy for sure. Story. Like super cartoony. It kind of reminded me of like like Ren and Stimpy. Like some of the, like when he would draw.
Funny
Private.
You say that, Ralph Bakshi. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking of.
Ralph
when
Bakshi,
I was reading
you could
it.
See, and then there's that tree with like John Kay and those guys
for
you
sure
see that influence. Yeah,
for sure.
I think another thing I'll highlight too is I felt like this was a very quick read. I got through like the first four, almost like wrapped it up in one night, but it was like super late. But I think it reads really quickly, even though it's a 7-issue series with dealing with like some really heavy topics. I thought it read like really fast. I think the pacing was like remarkable. And then like them kind of playing around with like the different like time periods, because a majority of it takes place, you know, prior to World War II, during World War II, and then present day when Captain America is trying to kind of figure out more about Elijah Bradley and then getting like that story.
Yeah,
so
and
I thought,
it's funny because when he didn't know about it, he's like, you never heard of Isaiah Bradley? And then the lawyer that was with him, or I think he was the CIA guy.
No, the FBI
was,
agent?
Yeah, and he's like, hey, you've been on.
He's like, everybody knows about this guy.
Well, no, he's like, you've been frozen. You get a pass. You've been frozen for all these years. You get a pass.
I liked the usage of Captain America as like, the audience learning a wider spectrum about like the outcome of Elijah Bradley or Isaiah Bradley. Sorry, Isaiah Bradley. Because at the end of the story, he loses his whole platoon, and Isaiah Bradley goes on this suicide mission. Not before he steals, you know, Captain America's costume, and that's the only time that you know his superiors and the U.S. government even decides to care. You know, is when he decides to like you know take this image that they've kind of built up. Which was also like another fascinating part for me was the scene where the three soldiers, you know, Isaiah, Maurice, and Lucas, you know, Isaiah being like the comic book fan, and they're reading like an issue of Captain America, and it's like, you know, they have that conversation of, wait, you know, this came out a year ago. We've already undergone these experiments, you know, lost everyone that we lost, and they're telling, you know, we're doing all the dangerous work, and you know they're
he's making like press appearances.
Yeah, you know
they do that in the movie. Well, yep. You know the first movie.
Yep.
So yeah, man, they definitely they touch on a lot of things, and you know the more I read about some of the backlash it got in 2003 was I think Ed you brought it up was a lot of comic book fans felt like they were going to
not my Captain America.
Yeah, disparage for lack of better terms, like the Steve Rogers and his legacy.
But that's not what they did, right? Like,
but that's the thing too. Could you imagine if this was released like recently, how much shit it would get before those last?
I think if it was released now, it would be like this story could definitely be told today. I don't think there'd be any problem with it, because it's like one, Marvel's been telling shit like this from the beginning, right? Like that's kind of their MO. Like Marvel does stuff that people think are controversial but really aren't, you know? Like, it's like, this guy is a superhero, and brace yourselves, he's black, you know? And everybody's like, what? Yeah. And it's like...
Oh, it would have been pitched differently.
Obviously. Yeah. So, it's like, I don't know, like, this, like more stories like this, I think, could be told. But it's all about context, right? Like the first thing, honestly, that comes to mind is, which is kind of a weird comparison, but Martin Scorsese did a movie called The Last Temptation of Christ. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Christians had a problem with it because they didn't finish the film.
Yeah.
Like you watch it all the way up to where he gets crucified and then he comes down off the cross and then starts basically banging fucking Mary Magdalene, marries her, has kids with her. And then, like, if you stop there because you're quote unquote offended or triggered, then you miss the point of the movie where he, at the end, decides this alternate reality is not what I want, decides to go back on the cross and dies for humanity's sins. If you're a Christian, yay, that's the ending you want anyway. This comic is kind of like that because, like, Cap's kind of doing the legwork and trying to figure out, hey, what is happening? What, my country did this?
Yeah.
My country? The country that I fought like to defend, like holy shit, like this is fucked up. And as I'm sure, like he's sitting here walking around, like oh my god.
Well, and if you notice, they make it a point, and I don't think it's done on purpose. They make it a point where he's in costume the whole time.
Sure,
he doesn't have to be in costume.
Nope,
talking to these guys, but that's the point. You know, that's definitely a intentional.
Cap's always kind of been that way, right? Yeah. Like I was talking. To bother about how like a lot of old heads love Captain America, like old Marvel fans are like, Captain America is the shit. Like you don't know, if you don't know about Cap, then you don't know. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like he always just seems sort of like this vanilla character, but like apparently the whole point is that, like, from what I hear about other people is that America's a fucked up place, mm-hmm. and Cap is just constantly the ever optimistic guy. And even it's been that way since the 60s.
But he always deals with, like, he always has crisis of faith with the...
Well, with his own country. Yeah. But that's awesome, because yeah. it's not something that typically someone who has never experienced that would experience, right? Like,
yeah.
to put it in street vernacular, Captain America is a brother in his own book, if that makes sense, you know? And now they have this book, Truth, comes out, right? Red, White, and Black. And now Cap is even more of an outsider. And he's like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
These guys are veterans. I'm a veteran. Like, yeah. this is fucked up.
And the thing, too, is like Cap listens, he emphasizes, and he empathizes, doesn't throw one punch.
No.
Doesn't get mad.
No.
He exposes everybody, you know, behind the scenes.
Right.
Like we had mentioned, the story opens up, the Black Platoon, they are kind of the guinea pigs of the Super Soldier Serum
It's like you have three different, basically, yes. backgrounds, too.
Yeah, to represent, like, the different kind of identities of, like, African-Americans at the time. You got yeah. Isaiah Bradley, who's, you know...
Family man.
Family
regular guy.
You got, Lucas Evans, who is already... He's already been in the Army. He's already kind of yeah. experienced, like, racism, being a Black man in the yeah. Army. I think he even, you know...
Chewed up and spit out by the military-industrial complex, yeah. for sure.
Exactly.
He's trying to navigate his way through those waters, you
yeah.
know? Yeah.
And then you've got Maurice Canfield, who's, you know, affluent, Black socialist, anti-war, gets dragged into the war.
He's also got money. Which is why he has time to think about these sort of issues as opposed to all those yeah. other guys who are like, look, we're trying to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, these guys, this whole platoon gets selected, covert operation to get be the guinea pigs of the Super Soldier Serum. That's still a work in progress. And that was some of the most, I think it was like issue 2 or 3 is when they start doing the experiments on this platoon. And man, like Kyle Baker's artwork went from very like kind of cartoony, warm, fun to gruesome. Like none of these guys, you know, became like, you know, the chiseled Atlas.
They're very ugly.
Steve Rogers.
They're all distorted.
They're drawn very ugly.
And the line that I love is like when the first guy comes back, like all just jacked and Hulk looking. He's like, how do I look? It's like, you're the first guy we see come back. You look great.
Right. Yeah. You know? Exactly. You're alive.
And you know, man... That comic just goes yeah. from like welcoming the first issue and just ramps up the darkness, because how crazy was it? You know, they only selected, 300 of the, maybe not even 300 of the battalion, but selected a few, killed the rest of them.
Jesus.
You know, hid all the evidence. And then when they have like their kind of like squad, they send them out into like these crazy missions. Well, they shoot that guy
like right in the head in front of all those soldiers.
So the guy who, the colonel who shoots the other commanding officer.
Yeah.
He's the one that ends up aging at the end, right? He's the guy that capped
aging, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The serum.
His last name's Price. Mm-hmm. Is there any connection between that character and Robert Redford's character in Captain America 2? Because that guy's name was Price. Like, are they supposed to be the same asshole?
Lineage? Damn, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And him and Nick Fury have that same sort of like that pass? Or it's Pierce.
Yeah, it's Pierce. I just watched it. It's Friday. Yeah, it's
God
Pierce.
Bless it. You see? We do the homework here on the Short Box, and anytime Botter can make me look like an idiot.
Hey, real quick. I want to pause here real quick because we do got bills to pay. So let's go on a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Short Box Nation. Sorry for the interruption, but we want to talk about one of our favorite comic shops that happens to be a proud sponsor of this here podcast.
You're talking about Gotham City Limits.
Whoa, Batman, what are you doing here?
It's just me, Potter, at sea. I've got laryngitis. But you know what doesn't have laryngitis? Jacksonville's premier location for comic books, collectibles, toys, and more.
Oh, and don't forget, pool customers get 10% off their comics.
Shut up, I'm talking now, punk. Gotham City Limits offers free bags and boards.
And 20% off trades and hardcovers.
I don't need a Robin for this ad spot.
But Batman, you're forgetting about the most important part about Gotham City Limit. It's a comic shop welcome to everyone, for the diehard collectors and the new fans.
I told you I'm not Batman, but have Alfred get the car ready. I'm rich, so it's on me. We're going to Gotham City Limits to spend some money on comics.
All right, and we're back.
Always cut me off. Always. I will put Vaseline in your headphones.
Oh,
Oh, my God.
Make it KY jelly. You got yourself a yeah.
I like it all warm and slippery on my ears.
Get the warming KY.
Oh, no.
Ashley, considering there might be...
new sponsor.
Ashley, considering there might be an influx of new readers, you know, when the show, when Falcon and Winter Soldier drops, would this be a comic that you'd recommend to new readers? You think it's new reader friendly?
I think that this is a comic that before you recommend it to anybody, you need to read it first and be very familiar with this person. I'm not, you can't just recommend it to just anybody.
This isn't a new reader's comic.
Not a new reader's comic.
Yeah, this is kind of like mid to somewhat advanced. I think only because it's not, you know, it don't give you the warm and fuzzies, you know, especially because it kind of still falls into that superhero genre, you know. And I'm not saying that every superhero book it gives you that warm and fuzzies. For goodness sakes, look at fucking Watchmen. But this, yeah, I don't think new reader-wise. But for someone that maybe enjoys timepieces, history.
Like history, yeah.
So, like you mentioned Watchmen. Watchmen deconstructs the superhero.
Yeah.
This shit deconstructs America.
Yeah.
Like, it's too heavy. It's too heavy
and
for
even
a newbie.
Like the HBO Watchmen, where there's some similarities, you know?
Yeah, because Robert Mellors essentially uses, you know, this comic book as a means to introduce, and I mean, you know, the amount of references and things that he brings in or incorporates into this comic book, I got to give him props. Like, a lot of it felt really seamless because he's tying, like, so many facets of, like, what I would deem, from my own personal experience, lesser known facets of like World War II, you know, like the Red Ball Express, the Belgian Resistance, the like Afro-Germans. And then like also incorporating, you know, topics of, you know, America's very ugly side and, you know, a long history of treatment
and
to
the
black
fact
people.
That we like, took a lot of those German scientists, you know.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I mean, yo, he name drops eugenics and then John Harvey Kellogg, who's got that's a fucking story right there. But to work all of these like
components.
Like
a Kellogg cereal?
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, didn't work. Those that know, no. Didn't work.
But I mean, the amount of things that
the
he kind of.
Cornflakes thing? Oh, okay.
But the amount of things that he's able to like touch on and bring
definitely
up. Even like things like the Black Vine and like the Negro press during World War II. Like, yo, it was like this story
research
was such a great vehicle to. Not, and he doesn't spend a lot of time on it, you know, like he just manages to use them kind of like as a storytelling vehicle. But I think it's a very smart read. You
know? What it does, it's like it gets, oh, what is this? This is actually
100%.
You know,
same,
this,
same.
You know, it gets you going into the, oh, shit, this is, you know, horrible.
So, kids, it's the perfect book to piss off your parents.
Oh, my God.
Just kickstart your way into everyone's heart.
I want to get a little lighthearted and a little topical. Ed, I was curious, what are some of your best guesses how this may tie into the upcoming Falcon and Winter Soldier show?
Only thing I can think of that could tangentially tie to this, maybe if they introduce Elijah and they do this back, I don't know how far they're going to take this. Because I'm guessing this is canon after introducing Elijah with Young Avengers. Yeah, so it's, I think, part of the Marvel Universe. And I'm thinking they're going to be tackling different stuff, but they could go back and circle around this when they do introduce Elijah.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is being rumored right now is they've got an actor by the name of Elijah Richardson. he's joined the cast of Falcon and Winter Soldier. And there was a rumor floating around because of something written on IMDb. And I didn't know that on IMDb you can anonymously kind of update things. I don't think there's a lot of controls there for,
yeah, it's like,
you know,
Wikipedia, I think.
I think it's even probably less than Wikipedia. I think Wikipedia actually has, like, you know, controls. You've
got checkers.
Yeah, exactly. But from what I understand, Elijah Richardson has been casted in the Falcon Winter Soldier show. He's rumored to be playing Eli Bradley, the son of Isaiah Bradley in this story, who we've talked about when we did our Young Avengers spotlight. Mm-hmm. Eli Bradley.
Grandfather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Eli Bradley, the grandson of Isaiah Bradley, Black Captain America. He plays Patriot. We kind of talked about him in our Young Avengers episode. But I think I've gone on these last two episodes, especially like on the Wait For It podcast. Shout out to Phil and Eric. But I've definitely been saying that the MCU has started to place these characters such as, you know, Cassie Lang, you know, who they got playing her.
Oh, they're doing a bunch.
Yeah,
of
Catherine,
like,
Newton, you know.
Yeah, the stature's been introduced technically.
Haley,
the twins have been introduced technically.
Haley Stanfield's supposed to play Kate Bishop. We're getting America Chavez as well. Like they're starting to like put like the young Avengers on the board. So if these rumors do hold up that this Elijah Richardson is playing Eli Bradley, it would make sense to introduce him in Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yeah. You know, especially if you're kind of playing with the motif and this imagery of
trying
Sam.
To get money.
Yeah.
I mean, actually,
and it's Nemo,
create,
right? So they can go back into these experiments in the Super Soldier.
Yo, exactly.
And they can really tell this. You know, flesh out that story.
So if we're supposed to, you know, what they're hinting or what they've kind of been hinting, like, you know, Sam ends up donning the shield and kind of picking up the Captain America mantle. I could see this show possibly touching on, like, you know, Sam revisiting some of the past and learning, wait, there was, you know, this group of black soldiers being experimented on. Like, I think that could easily be incorporated if we do work in like Eli Bradley, you know, who's to say that he doesn't go visit. Like how Captain America visits Isaiah Bradley and his family in this comic book in the end and learns about all of this, I could see Falcon kind of being that that placement and, you know, learning about, you know, Isaiah Bradley and all of this stuff. I think that'd be kind of pretty seamless. I guess we can go ahead and wrap this up and get on to a No Comic Shop for Old Men. But I wanted to get you know, your grade on this, man. You know, we've done a lot of comic book spotlights these last couple weeks. Most recently, we've been focusing on tying into like some of the comic book different comic book shows. But what would you guys like grade this as a whole? Like,
oh no, you don't. And, what would you grade it first?
Oh, okay, easy. B plus. I'll give it a B plus because
you fucking racist. Got him. B plus, huh? For black, you piece of shit.
Damn it. I'll give it a B plus because the pacing is great.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a smart read. I think he touches on this is a non-traditional comic book artist who is used to writing editorials and articles and doing his, like, you know, due diligence and research as a journalist. I think he brought that to this comic book opportunity and expanded on the Captain America mythos in a very unique way without disparaging what, you know, has already been created. You know, he wasn't trying to flip the script on Steve Rogers and, you know.
He's not Hydra.
Exactly. It wasn't like, it wasn't some bullshit, you know. It wasn't trying to rewrite history. He found his own pocket and made it his own thing, you know, and wasn't afraid. And I got to give a lot of props to Alex Alonso. Like I said, I think.
Axel,
thank you for pitching this idea because it was kind of his brainchild and he brought in Robert Morales. Like, this is, it shows like the importance of an editor, you know, like the ability to kind of steer the ship. And I feel like he kind of gave Robert Morales as much freeway, you know, he kind of let him do his own thing. And Kyle Baker, like, this was a great introduction to his artwork. And I know this isn't, you know, like what people know him for or what he's won awards for, but his artwork was a great balancing act from this very heavy fucking story that deals with a lot. And most importantly, and I'll end up with this, is this is one of those comic books you read and you end up leaving wanting to know more. You know, it doesn't end at the comic book. You know, if you want to, I think, get the whole story, you do end up looking up things like the Tuskegee study or some of the other things they brought up.
But even like the cool, like at the end where he sees Isaiah and then you see all those pictures of him with all these celebrities, you know, that like with Richard Pryor. And
it was cool seeing that was him so draw Denzel. I've never seen anybody draw Denzel Washington before.
He does great caricature stuff. He's really good at that. But that was like probably the only feel good moment, saying that Isaiah's still here. He's still, and it's kind of like a, you know, almost like a mirror to like Muhammad Ali giving him that kind of stature.
Sure.
So now, Ashley, what would you give this? What's your grade on this one?
Oh, it's an A for sure. It's just, it's very intelligently written. And I think Ed's right. Like the very first page, there's a like some happiness when you're learning about these characters, and then the very last page, but in between, there's like no happiness in this book. But, you know, what other book are you going to read where you're like pausing it to like look up on Wikipedia, like Red Summer and like things that actually happen that are important to know about that we were just never taught? So, and the art, I didn't like the art, but I feel like it needed that. When they first showed the super soldiers and like one of them had like this big like egghead and they just looked ridiculous. If that thing was like really drawn nicely and like super detailed, it would have been a
nightmare
for
Immortal Hulk.
Exactly.
It would have been that much harder to get through this book.
Well said. What about you, Ed?
It's A. Like I said, I was on board when it came out. That was one of the few things I read, you know, all the way through, because I'm very you know, short attention span with comics. I usually pick up one or two issues, then all right, whatever. But this one I had to see to the end. I think it's a great addition to the Captain America mythology. I think it's a good, like you said, it's a good history lesson. Just to like, wait, this is what we taught in school. They left out a lot of things, you know, it's, you know, and it's something that where you read it and just from similar events in history, okay, it makes sense. It's not like, you know, even though it is a superhero book, it's not that much of an exaggeration of what really happened, which is really the heartbreaking thing of it. It's a heartbreaking book, but I think it's an important book. Well so, said. Yeah, A+ for me.
Well said. What about you, C?
A+, 100%. Got him. That's it. No, I was going to say, no, I'm going to say A+, 100%, only because this is exactly the way I feel when I read anything by Will Eisner, right? Right down to how cartoony it is.
Mm-hmm. That's a good comparison,
And in tone too, right? Yeah. Like Eisner's shit was like, here's what it's like to be Jewish in America at this time. It fucking sucks. Here's what it's like to be Italian in America at this time. It fucking sucks. You know, like, and then you have, you know, Kyle Baker's artwork, which I've seen him do better in other books. So I'm with Ashley on that, like that page where it's like, this looks mad sloppy.
Like his breadth of work.
I gave it a B.
This was like the phase he was doing in this time. It was kind of like this really loose, almost like all digital.
It's very loose. Very loose. Like almost like it turned me off.
Yeah.
You know, except I could see he had the fundamentals, exactly. You know, like I'm like, okay, if this was just as loose with no real fundamentals as far as like, you know, composition, where he puts his characters, how he tells a story visually, I would have been like, eh, I would have been Botter's camp and given it a B. Sorry, Botter, B+. Definitely. Like, this is definitely one of these books that would I recommend it to anybody? No. But I wouldn't fucking recommend Will Eisner to anybody either. I would recommend it to somebody who maybe doesn't think comics could transcend its own genre. Right? Like, this is a weird, weird comic, especially that it's a Captain America comic, considering Cap was created as a comic book, which was eventually read by soldiers who, in this comic, now the story's kind of being flipped and soldiers are, it's like so meta, it's not even funny. Like, it's like a fucking Ouroboros of of comics. Like, it's a snake eating its own tail of comic.
Had comics in his own universe.
Right, yeah. And soldiers were reading Captain America in real life in World War II. And right down to like, you know, I was wondering if Isaiah Bradley was going to punch Hitler. You know, like if that was going to happen while I was reading it, because that would have been even more meta, right? Like, it's like, Jesus Christ, like my fucking head is turning inside out.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So I'm like, what is happening? And Will Eisner does that shit too. Mm-hmm. So I could see why it would be like, definitely get the acclaim and the controversy that it has, but also it's a freaking top-notch book worth owning. 100% recommend to people who think comics are nothing but freaking fairy stories and capes.
Yeah, well said. I wanted to just share this one last thing that I read from an interview of Axel Alonso. He was kind of doing like just a like walk through like his career. I think it was on a CBR or something like that. But he had brought up the interview had brought up, you know, truth, because Axel, I think during this time frame was, you know, editing like, you know, J. Michael Straczynski's Spider-Man, Ecstatic, Messiah Complex. He was also working with like Garth Ennis on Punisher. He also edited Rawhide Kid, which I think between those two and on top of Truth, like it was a trifecta of different comics stories that were getting a lot of news coverage, you know, for being kind of sensational, like sensational news coverage. You know, I believe for the promo for this, for Truth, when it originally aired, it was like a silhouette of an African-American man in Captain America costume, who we later learned was Isaiah Bradley. But he was saying, like, the media latched onto that. Like, that was it. Black Captain America. They didn't even, you know, the story hadn't even come out.
It was the cover of one, the first issue.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. So he said he had a lot of fans, which we see now, you know. So it's nothing new, you know. If you've been reading comic books, you know, fans kind of just take things out of, or at least diehard fans take things out of context. But he was talking about that later on, a lot of critics, he had a few like critics like kind of walk back and was like, man, after reading this, you know, all of that initial, all of the things that we were initially saying was, you know, blown out of proportion. Like, this is a story that has a heart to it. You know, they weren't just running with, hey,
Black Captain America. Like, they were telling a story based on some factual stuff. So,
well, I like, and you know, we can see what you wrote in your notes too. And I was like waiting for you to say it, but you wrote that the story was about building bridges between people mm-hmm. and not burning them, right? Because at the end, that's ultimately what happens, right? Like Cap, you know, who represents another soldier, another veteran, another person who was kind of chewed up and spit out by the country that he's defending, is now sharing literally the same costume and has his arm around his fellow brother.
And he's
coming
back in with those idealistic sensibilities because he's been frozen for so long.
Right. The best that we all hope.
America, we're the good guys.
Right. American.
Why would we do this?
Exactly. You know? Like, America can be a good place if hope and faith still exists. Because they say that in the comic too, right? Like, it's like, that's, you know, people I think look at it and they'll take away what they want to, but what it looks like Axel was kind of trying to do was build a bridge, you know, and not really divide people.
But Axel's not afraid to call out anybody.
No, I'm not
sure,
at all.
Yeah, sure as shit wasn't.
Look, guys, I want to go on music break. I want to talk about some new comics, get things kind of lighthearted again, and do some champion season.
That's awesome.
But no, I thought this was a really good a break from this was like just a different tonal comic book that we've covered a lot of comic books, but I don't know if we've covered one as, you know, kind of heavy and deep as this one. So this was a good switch up, and I want to go ahead and thank the our Patreon subscribers for selecting this, because it was between this and then a different Captain America story as well.
Well, here's the thing: if you guys want to go back and listen to the episodes that we did on Young Avengers and House of M, even the WandaVision story episodes where we kind of review that stuff, the whole point is that all this stuff is starting to connect. Wanda and Vision and the twins, it almost seems like you can draw a direct line, not just through the MCU, but through our podcast as well, where they're setting up something, and it might be the Young Avengers. So I highly recommend, if you like this show, go back and listen to what we had to say on some of the earlier episodes, because a lot of the stuff I think is going to be coming back into the mainstream, if you will.
And just remember, if they do show Eli Bradley, remember you heard it here
first. We fucking said it first.
All right, yo, let's go on music break. We got a new song from our boy Parrish, man, a.k.a. KLA, a.k.a. Alan Fresh. We're going to play this track. I don't got the name of it with me right now, but I'll say it afterwards. We'll play the song. We'll come back. We got an email to read. We'll talk new comic books. And then, of course, we got some worthwhile recommendations to share with you. So stay tuned. Are back. That was a song called Money Flow by our man Greg Parrish, aka KLA, aka Alan Fresh. And you know what, Greg, man, I want to go and congratulate Greg here on the Short Box. Our man's gonna be a dad soon, man, so congrats to our boy Greg on his upcoming fatherhood.
Nice.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, brother. Once again, like I said, that song was called Money Flow. If you're interested in any of the music here on the show, check out our show notes for links to both Greg and Mecca the Marvelous's Bandcamp page. Let's get into some emails, man. We got one email to read. It actually came last week, just right before we had wrapped up our WandaVision show. It's from our good friend Matt Stenson.
Oh.
See, if you'll do us the honors.
I shall. This one's called WandaVision. Hey, Shortbox, just have to say, my wife did not give two shits about the MCU until WandaVision. But Wanda's story sucked her in. Now she's watching Age of Ultron and Avengers Infinity War on her own while I'm not at home. It did the Lord's work, and I'm grateful. Signed, Matt Attack. It's been a while.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to, speaking about WandaVision, well, real quick, Matt, I think I had already told you, but my girlfriend Blythe was the same way. Could not give two shits about WandaVision after watching episodes 1 and 2. By the time that season was done, that is all she watched was WandaVision. So I know the feeling. I also want to go ahead and give a shout out to Phil and Eric from the Wait For It podcast and Jeremy from the Main Street Magic Podcast. Me and C were co-hosts on Phil and Eric's show last week to talk about WandaVision, and I was a co-host on Jeremy's Main Street Magic Podcast talking about WandaVision.
Yeah, that's right. We're rubbing our stink everywhere else.
Yo, bringing down the property value of other shows one cameo at a time. So thanks to Phil and Eric and Jeremy as well. Check out Wait For It Podcast. Check out the Main Street Magic Podcast. And of course, I want to welcome any of the listeners that hopped on over from their shows to ours this week.
They were gracious hosts.
Yeah, they were. Absolutely, man. I also want to go ahead and thank everyone that put in a pre-order for Shortbox merch.
Yo, seriously.
Hats and shirts will start shipping at the end of the month. If you're listening to this episode on the day it drops, which is Wednesday, pre-orders are closed. I'm sorry. But don't worry. We are planning to do another drop later this summer. We'll kind of keep the merch train going. I know a lot of you guys have been asking to support in that way. So we'll have more shirts, more hats. We also got like groovy new pens coming in too. Enamel.
Do we, Dad? Really? Groovy new pens?
Enamel pens.
Well, we've got some sweet pens coming out for you Hepcats out there. I'm a cool dad, you know? I'm concerned.
Like. All right, man. How about we get to talking about some of the best new comics and get into No Comic Shop for Old Men segment.
No Comic Shop for Old Men.
No comic shop.
Oh, God.
For old me.
You didn't cue up any sound effects?
That's the
no,
new.
No. I just love repeating it.
That's the new bump. That's how it's going to be from now on.
Clint Eastwood.
Butter sounding like Venom from the 90s.
Oh,
all right. So this is the segment where we get to talk about the best new comic books that we've recently read. And sometimes we crown a winner depending on the ever-changing rules that, you know, Cesar.
I didn't make up the rules, man. I just follow.
I know. You don't make up any rules. You literally make them up on the
You're spot. Right.
Mm-hmm. There's no set amount of rules. But so far, we've kind of got this thing going where we kick off this segment by all simultaneously saying the name of the comic book we'll be spotlighting. So on the count of three, one, two.
Daredevil, I win.
Carmen.
Three. You son of a bitch. Oh. You fucking all crossover. All right. Well, all right. See, kick us off, man. Well,
no, I can't kick off something that's already ended. I won.
Immortal
so
Hulk.
It's next segment.
See, what's the new
Ed
comic?
Ed wins now.
Yeah.
What's the new comic book you read?
No, I have been reading Immortal Hulk, but I didn't want to say it because that made me feel like shit.
We've done it three, four times.
It's true. Already. It's true. I will say that Daredevil is fucking amazing right now. Mm-hmm. Are you reading it?
Chip, because Chip got me reading it.
Wow,
it's so
basis.
Good.
My buddy Chip.
Yo.
Yeah, right.
It's Zdarsky and Chichetto, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So good. Fucking, it's been good the whole time.
It's has.
On, what, like issue 20-something or 30-something?
Have you been reading it that long?
Yeah.
Like since it started?
Damn.
Since Zdarsky started?
As soon as I found out he was writing that first issue, added it to my pull list.
Yep.
I never read Daredevil before.
I'm there. I fucking have, from the beginning, it's been mm-hmm. good. And maybe you can concur, Ashley. Like, I love the idea that they're doing chunks, little chunks of stories, as opposed to like one large Hickman-esque type story where it's like, no, it's like a two-part Daredevil story where now he's in court.
That's nice.
And then a four-part, and then a three-part, then a six-part, then a two-part. And then, like, phenomenal. It's no one can lose interest in this book. And I don't know. Just the idea of just taking – I think you guys know maybe like the symbiotes have kind of come back in a big way. They're doing a lot of shit in Marvel now with like Null and the Lord of the Symbiotes.
This is the Marvel Knights Metal?
Like, exactly.
That's a pretty good comparison.
But what's cool is in Daredevil's book, they take sort of a religious angle to it. Not like an overtly obvious one, but because Matt is a Catholic
–
when a symbiote gets on top of him, he's just like, no, I'll fucking exorcise you like a demon that you are. And
that's kind of bad.
And it's like looking at his brain, like, it's like, you're a fucking devil. He's like, what do you think? God exists? Nothing happens when you die. I've seen your heart. And he's just like, then you know that my issues don't come from my, you know, lack of faith. They come from me thinking I'm not worthy to go to heaven. Get the fuck out of my body. You're like, ooh.
Oh man, I didn't know you could do that.
It's fucking great.
Yo, I think that definitely deserves Yale.
Anyway, that's my fucking pick.
That's like a good one. Ed, what about you, man? What do you got to pick?
I picked up.
You want it real quick? You want to air? Let me know when you want the air horns. All right,
we'll just wait till I'm done. That'd be nice. Appreciate it. I picked up Carmen by Gilliam March. It is a very European style. It reminds me, and I think Milo Manara did an alternate cover for it. It's a very European style. It's a very black comedy. If you mixed, I guess, the movie Ghost, Patrick Swayze's Ghost, and Death from The Endless from the Sandman series.
Nice.
So basically, it starts off as this coming-of-age tale of two kids who are kind of, you think are kind of destined to be together forever, but then the guy like starts seeing her roommate. There's a suicide, and then basically this character, Carmen, comes in. She's got like this, you know, just purple hair, like a skeleton. It's kind of like if Delirium was Death, kind of that just kind of crazy, off-kilter personality, and she's basically kind of a guardian angel, and she kind of transitions people from, I guess, Death to the next plane, but she's basically kind of showing this main character, this girl, kind of how to, you know, become kind of like, I guess, live in between realms. So she's teaching her how to, like, you know, go through walls and fly and things like that. And it's beautifully drawn. It's an amazing looking comic. It's probably one of the nicest looking comics I've seen in a while. But there's, like I said, there's some horror elements, black comedy. It's really interesting. So if you like, I saw the image, this cover, when I was kind of doing the preview for the new comics. It's like such a striking cover, so I had to check it out. But yeah, I recommend it.
Good shit. What about you, Ashley? What you got?
So I've got, it's out through Oni Press this week. It's Jonna and the Unpossible Monsters. I grabbed it because it looked like, you guys know who Johnny Jimison is, like the local artist? He did like Dragon Lord Saga and like River Fox and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And it reminded me of his artwork, and then I noticed it was Chris Samnee, and it was written by him and his wife to have something that they could, like, share with their kids.
Huh.
So there's, like, just cute little characters and, like, really cool monsters in it.
If you like Bone, it reminds me a lot of, like, Jeff Smith's
It does, cool. Yeah. It's a lot like Bone. It's just, it's fun. I almost kinda picked that. I needed it after reading Truth. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I was like, I need something fun and colorful and not sad.
Yeah, it definitely. It's
well,
like
I could suggest Mouse. That's a great time. God. It's a great time.
That'll be our next book review. We're going to go with the Mouse.
So this last 2 weeks, I've been like, pollen has just whooped my ass. So I had a lot of time to
just. Spotter's been coming to work with Corona. Everyone. Water is exposing everyone to corona.
Allergies.
But I had a lot of time to catch up on my recent books that I've bought. So I was able to catch up with Crossover number 4. It came out at the end of February. This is that Donny Cates, Jeff Shaw comic book series. It's 6 issues coming out through Image. It is essentially the story is in Colorado. There is this dome that appeared, or sorry, this portal appears. All of these superheroes show. It's basically what would happen if a real life crossover event happened in the real world. So all these superheroes come out of this portal, as well as like monsters, villains, devastate the city of Colorado. They throw a big ass dome over it, and it takes follows a young girl helping this other girl that came through the portal get back to her family and whatnot. I will go ahead and say that if you are a fan of Donny Cates' prior work, you will get a kick out of this because he essentially like incorporates like his other titles like God Country and
I thought you were gonna be like his other titles Venom and Venom maybe Venom,
you know. By issue 4 you kind of start seeing like, okay, this is a crossover of his, you know, like the Donny Cates universe, because there's so many cameos and Easter eggs.
And they have
that
like Madman's in it now too.
Yo, that was a great cameo for sure. So the only thing I will say, it's a little slow. 4 issues in, I'm waiting kind of like for the thing to happen. We got 2 more issues, so I've got my hopes up because you know I do like Donny Cates.
So when's the giant magic sword gonna come?
So issue 5 comes out at the end of this month. But yeah, Crossover has been pretty good so far, especially if you like Donny Cates' work. I guess who had the best comic book? Who wins this week's No Comic Shop for Old Men?
I think I did because I wasn't here last week, so I win.
That's a good reason to win.
Daredevil was really good.
See?
That's 2 votes.
Ashley co-signs. Yeah.
And I won't lie, you kind of sold it pretty well. That's a hell of an interesting concept. Daredevil casting.
Look, you know what? Exorcism. No, I don't want to win now.
Oh.
Now I don't want to win.
Why?
Because I'm a contrarian.
It's only taken you 7 years to finally admit it. All right, but anyways, I think C wins this one. So check out.
No, I don't want it.
No, too late. You get it. You get it. Before we go off into our champion season, like we normally do at the end of No Comic Shop for Oldman segment, I want to share some titles that our good buddy Ben over at Gotham City Limit.
And why, Butter, are you sharing these titles?
Oh. Why do you ask me this every? Oh, you're setting. Okay.
Yes. Oh my God.
Well, see, you know, I don't want our fans to, our listeners to miss out on some of the best new comic books coming out.
Thank you for correcting yourself. Not everybody that listens to us are fans.
I don't mind hate listeners. That's fine. Just listen out of hatred for us.
Hate listeners.
I think that's all we have. People just go,
what are those assholes going to say now?
That's not right.
Why are you tuning in every week? Why are you
fucked up again?
All right, but yo, these are three comic books that our good friend at Ben feels you should put on your pull list because there is a good chance that they'll probably go to second print or sell out. So you need to go and get these on your pull by March 22nd. So that'd be like the following Monday. The first one he's got on here is one called Jules Verne Lighthouse. It's number 1 of 5. It's a sci-fi thriller set on the high seas of space based on the world of master storyteller Jules Verne. So that is called Lighthouse. The second book is Carmen number 2. Wow. Okay.
All right.
Hit new series, second comic, second issue hits, I guess, next month. So get that on your poll. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if issue 1 probably sold out. That's probably why you put it on here. And last but not least, another comic book you should put on your pull list is Dark Hawk.
What?
Of Hawk number 1, and he writes,
Dark Hawk.
Celebrate the 30th anniversary.
Oh, Dark Hawk,
yes,
right? Shit.
Of the 90s hottest hero in this new spectacular
story. That was a
Marvel
character.
Right.
So it looks like it's going to be
Holy
a three.
Crap.
Yeah, it's going to be a.
Looks is like Night Thrasher going to be with them too?
I know, right?
Who other, yeah. other Bobo people from the 90s coming back?
So, yo.
Don't miss out. Is he coming back?
So don't miss out. Go ahead and consider putting Lighthouse number 1, Carmen number 2, and Dark Hawk, Heart of
Hawk.
On your pull list.
Was that Shadowhawk ripoff?
Yes.
Okay.
So here's the thing.
Oh my God.
No one will understand the torment of going to a Blockbuster video or any kind of rental place and having in your head, I just want to watch Nightmare on Elm Street 3 again. I hope they have it there.
Three more.
And when you roll up in there, you see it's somebody's already fucking rented it. And you're like, shit, well, now what am I going to get? You don't want to be that guy. So what we're trying to do is basically tell you ahead of time, hey, these are the things that are going to be sold out fast. If you don't take advantage of them.
Timely reference.
It's not our fault. Yeah.
Blockbuster.
I'm just saying. I'm old. It's the only thing I know. It's the only experience that matches that same sentiment when you go to the comic book shop.
And you got
to
rent Cobra again.
Right.
For the 57th time.
Because your dad wants to watch Commando. Yeah.
Commando. Great.
But he accidentally rents Predator because the boxes looked almost exactly the same.
Well said. All right, man. Let's go ahead and wrap up this week's episode. Let's go ahead and give some worthwhile recommendations before we do. Let's go ahead and kick off Champion Season segment. Did you realize that you were a champion? Champion Season, man. It's our last segment. It's where we share some worthwhile recommendations like older comics, movies, TV shows, or whatever else has resonated with us this week that we want to share with you and the rest of the Short Box Nation. I'm going to go ahead and let Ashley kick us off. Ashley, what are you going to champion today?
I have a restaurant. Well, it's more of like a dessert place.
Nice.
It's called Cookies and Cream.
Oh, shit.
It's in Jack's Beach. They have homemade ice cream.
Dear Lord.
They have, so my favorite is, they have like strawberry jam stuffed cookies and Nutella stuffed cookies. It's so good. They have cookies world that they literally just put an Oreo inside of it. And
this
then
might
just
be the best champion we've had in a long
time. And bake it. And the people are so nice. Like every time I walk in, like have you ever walked into Moe's?
They're on sugar highs.
Yeah, you walk into Moe's and they're like, welcome to Moe's. Like, you know that?
Yeah.
Everyone's just like forced to say it.
Yeah, right.
Like here, they're like actually happy that you walk in.
It's a genuine politeness.
They're like, hey, what can I? They're like excited. You're like, oh, put some
45 cookies.
Put some Cocoa Krispies on that. They're like, oh, good idea.
What?
Like, they're just
you can
so
customize
nice.
Your cookies?
Well, you make ice cream sandwiches and then you put whatever you want on it.
Jesus Christ.
Lord.
It is.
Diabetes, here I come.
Amazing.
Wait.
I'm going.
One thing, what was the name of the place?
Cookies and Cream.
I've heard of it.
Because it's ice cream, too.
Yes.
Fuck.
So you just make giant ice cream sandwiches. It's so good.
And I'm assuming this is here in Jack's. Just here in Jack's?
It's in Jack's Beach on 3rd Street. Yeah, there's only one of them.
Local, yeah.
Local place.
Oh, shit.
I'm sorry, international fans. You're just going to have to live vicariously through that description.
Yeah, so that one guy listening in Indonesia that's a big Adrian Saya fan. Sorry, cookies and cream.
But thank you for sticking through with us, man. I appreciate that. Ashley, you got anything else to champion?
That's it.
All right. Ed, what about you, man? What do you want to champion?
Surprised I'm not the one that did a food champion.
I know, right?
You're dropping your brand, man.
Oh, I know. I'm the fat one here.
I forgot we could do food champions.
You used to champion friendship.
I used to champion Sweet Theory.
Oh, yeah. That's a solid one. All right. Well, I got a few. There's a YouTube series I just somehow stumbled upon, Hanging with Dr. Z. It is Dana Gould.
Oh, wow.
He's a Simpsons writer for a while, longtime stand-up comedian. You probably know he's had a long career. But I guess he's been doing this Dr. Zaius character. He dresses up like Dr. Zaius from Planet
Because
of the
you're
Apes.
A man, Taylor. Yeah.
And it's basically like if you took, like basically made Space Ghost Coast to Coast, like a live action thing with Dr. Zaius as the host. And he's talking about, me and Chuck Heston. I call him Chuck because we're friends. He loves showing off his body. You know, I'm a super liberal. He's super conservative, you know, but we got along great. You know, it's telling old Hollywood
That's
tales.
That's awesome.
It is ridiculous. They're only 8-minute episodes. There's only a handful of episodes. I think he had Bobcat Goldthwait on one. That one of the guys from Wings, he was in The Shining, the TV Shining.
Steven Weber.
Yes, Steven Weber was the first one. And he's got like a band leader guy. It's ridiculous.
I hate every ape I see from chimpanzee.
Guess you really made a monkey. I love you, Dr. Zaius.
That's awesome. The movie or the planet? Sorry.
That was a funny... He did and I kind of went down this wormhole. He did like a Turner Classic Movies where he sits in with one of the hosts where he talks about Planet of the Apes and like all the sequels and remakes and stuff
That's
like
great.
That. Ridiculous. But yeah, if you're a fan of Dana Gould or even like that Simpsons humor, because he's a big part of that early Simpsons.
Sure. You
know, that humor, defining that humor. Hanging with Dr. Z. And I got a couple more. I've just picked up Hellboy and the BPRD, the Seven Wives Club. Mike Mignola writes it. And Adam Hughes draws the interiors.
Damn.
Yes, Adam Hughes.
Adam Hughes!
And I don't think I have to say anything else. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's the selling point right there.
But yeah, he does his kind of Mignola impressions. A lot of cool darks, a lot of creepy looking panels. And I'm thinking Mignola laid it out and he drew it. Like you see like some of that Bernie Wrightson vibes in there too. Beautiful, beautiful comic. And you don't see Adam Hughes drawing actual comics.
No.
I don't think I've seen one in... since probably the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pick that up. That's a rarity. And since we talked about Kyle Baker, I kind of went back and reread some of his stuff. So just going back, this is the first I'm going to recommend, King David. It was put out by Vertigo in, I think, 2002. And it is, and if you're not crazy about the art in Truth, this is him doing almost like a Disney version of the King David story.
Yeah, he definitely has that Disney style.
Yeah. So it's a basically very high production. There's some... This is, you know, early digital coloring, so there's some garish colors in here. But I love the fact that he made Goliath in this bright green kind of Galactus Kirby-inspired armor. It is a beautiful book. It's very funny. He's got a very kind of dry sense of humor. But it's biblically accurate. So if you're into that kind of stuff, yeah, check it out. But those are my champions.
Good one, Zed. What about you? See, what do you got a champion?
So I only have one, and the champion is Warrior. Have you guys watched Warrior on HBO Max? Do you know what that's the show? So, do you know about the show Kung Fu with David Carradine?
Yes.
Okay.
Bruce Lee was supposed to be in it.
Bruce Lee was not only supposed to be in it, but he helped create it, right? Yeah. And they stole that shit from him.
David's a white guy.
Didn't credit him and said he was too yellow to fucking play the role.
That's right.
Well, Shannon Lee has her father's notes. And fucking Warrior is basically Kung Fu as it's originally envisioned by
shit.
Dude. It's got Kung Fu explosions and titties. You cannot go fucking wrong.
What was the third one?
Sorry, Ashley. You cannot go wrong. It's fucking amazing. It's called Warrior. And it literally starts off like basically The Godfather, but with Kung Fu explosions and bubes.
What time period is this?
1876 San Francisco.
This is awesome.
So it's in Chinatown.
Nice.
And you've got the main character who's just come over on a boat, and they call him an onion, which cracks me up. They're like, what are you talking about, you fucking onion?
Oh, boy. Like, old-timey racism.
It's wonderful. You have people that just got off the boat. You have the established tongs that are set up there, which are basically like the Chinese mafia. And it's historically accurate because just like the mafia here in the United States, it started off as a bunch of immigrants who were Italian that really just kind of wanted to look out for their own people. Yep. And then as power amassed, they kind of got into racketeering and looking out for you, kind of became insurance, kind of became the mafia, right? It's kind of like that here. So there's the Tongs are just kind of fighting with each other locally. Actually, Chris got me into this show. And it's funny because he didn't know how much of a Bruce Lee nut I was. And kind of loosely knew a little bit of that it was tied to Bruce Lee, but not how much it was.
That's awesome.
And the main guy, they say like when he fights and all the his lines, they didn't want it to be like, you're Bruce Lee now. You know, like, no, like, it's like, we'll make it subtle. The nods to Bruce will be there, but subtle. So, you know, some of the stuff he does, the way he catches a punch, the way he kind of like,
he does the
like
shuffles. Crack.
Yeah. And like, you know, does the sort of like yeah. Jeet Kune Do sort of like stance.
That's awesome.
It's one of the best shows I've seen.
Who's the main guy?
Koji something. I forgot his name. He's a Brit. Okay. And he plays – the main character's name is Assam, and it's fucking great. And something neat that they do on the show is that when they're speaking in Chinese, the camera will like spin around and now they're speaking in English. So if it's like two Chinese people speaking in Chinese, camera spin around, and now they're speaking in English, right?
That's cool.
But when you're looking from the perspective of anybody else that doesn't speak, they'll be speaking in Chinese and the subtitles will be there.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like, oh, fuck. Like, this is kind of neat. It's so well thought out, but it's based off of Bruce Lee's writings for Kung Fu. Mm. And I fucking own every episode of Kung Fu. Like, I like that show too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still.
But it's not what Bruce wanted, right? It's kind of the same thing, though. Guy comes to America. He's looking for somebody. He's like the stoic dude. Mm-hmm. And he's just basically, hey, man, I just want to do me. Leave me a fucking alone. So it's good.
Mm. Good stuff. I got two music docs to champion today. One is that Biggie, I Got a Story to Tell. That's on Netflix. It dropped earlier this month. It's got like rare footage and like in-depth interviews, which it does. They focus a lot on his early life and entry into the rap game. There's like a lot of home video that they use that hasn't like surfaced until now. The best part about this is that they're not repeating a lot of like the same old narrative that you've seen in other Biggie docs. They don't spend a lot of time.
You mean some hipster on YouTube didn't find this footage?
they don't spend a lot of time. The focus isn't on the same kind of played out narrative of the West Coast beef that you kind of see eats up a lot of time in some of the other docs. This is strictly about like Biggie's early life, like coming to America from Jamaica, his Jamaican roots, his family, also like his younger life before the record deal. It's phenomenal. It's really good. I've been like in a Biggie mood for the last 2 weeks after watching it. I recommend it for any, you know, hip hop heads. And last but not least, a spectacular music doc for anyone to check out is Miles Davis, The Birth of Cool. It came out in 2019. As most of you know, Miles Davis, you know, considered one of the most influential and acclaimed figures in not only jazz, but like 20th century music. It unpacks the mythology of Miles Davis. There's a lot of like never before seen footage. There's a lot of celebrity interviews. And Miles Davis is a person I'm aware of. I've listened to Bitches Brew, that album, but I don't know anything past that. So this was an amazing 2-hour crash course into Miles Davis. I mean, this is a dude that was born in 1926, died in 1999. Like, he's lived through a lot of different periods within America. So his experiences and stories are amazing. And to kind of get an in-depth look into his mind and how he tackled music and his accomplishments, amazing. I recommend it to not only people who, you know, like jazz, but maybe those that want to kind of like learn more about jazz and Miles Davis, but also just music documentary lovers. It was spectacular.
So. Right. And to reiterate Botter's point, if you're a kid, do drugs, right? Make sure you do the hardest drugs possible if you're a child. That's what Botter just said.
I can go in and give a to that.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding. So yeah, check out Biggie, I Got a Story to Tell, and Miles Davis, The Birth of Cool. Those are my champions.
Nice.
That is the end of the show, man. I appreciate everyone tuning in. This was a hell of a conversation. How about we wrap it up with shout outs and shameless plugs? Ashley, what you got going on?
Just Ashley Laney Art on Instagram.
Word. For those that did buy a shirt, you might have noticed, yo, Ashley's art graced that shirt. You'll be rocking our faces here soon.
Oh my God.
Ed, what about you, man? What you got going on? What do you want to share?
So, EdBot5000, Instagram, most social media. Commissions are open.
Ooh,
Nice. I got a brony idea I want to send you. Blake, I'm got my revenge on you, Blake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Cesar, what about you, man? Any shameless plugs to share?
Nothing right now. I have nothing right now, since Matt emailed us, I haven't shouted out his school in a long time. Matt Stinson has a school for European martial arts, technically called HEMA. Historic European martial arts is basically, so if you are into broadswords, rapiers, sword and buckler, this is more or less kind of what your shit should be. If you ever dreamed about swinging a sword, he could teach you how to do it historically and officially. He is certified, and his school is here in Jacksonville. So look up Bold City Longsword, all right?
Hell yeah, I can get behind that. Shout out to Matt Stinson. I'll give my detailed shameless plugs and information for next week at the very end, but I'll go ahead and encourage everyone to check out the links in the show notes if you're interested in the music we play on the show, or if you want to buy art from Ashley and Ed. We got I put direct links to their shops in the show notes. Other than that, man, yo, everyone, Shortbox Nation, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Peace. Yo, Shortbox Nation. That's the end of the show, man. That's all we've got for you this week. Hopefully you guys had a good time hanging out with us. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. Like I love to say, the convo don't got to stop here. If you've got some things that you want to share with us, some thoughts, some comments on any of the things that we talked about, we'd love to hear from you. If you actually end up reading Truth, Red, White, and Black, which is available on the Marvel Unlimited app, I think it's available for purchase on Comixology and other digital platforms. It's easier to get it digital than it is physical. But if you end up checking out Truth, Red, White, and Black, we'd love to hear what you thought about the comic book series. You know, did we miss anything? Do you want to expand on anything? Man, let us know. Shoot us an email to our inbox at theshortboxjacks@gmail.com, or you can shoot us a message on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Our handle is theshortboxjacks. That's JAX. Give us a follow while you're at it. Next week, we'll be doing a review and recap of Falcon and Winter Soldier Episode 1. That's right, Episode 1 drops later this week on Friday, March 19th. So that'll be our show for next week. We're also going to try to do a bonus episode to talk about the Justice League Snyder Cut, which I believe is available on HBO Max the same time that this episode is. So March 17th, I think, is when Justice League Snyder Cut comes out. But we're hoping to do a bonus episode for that. Speaking of bonus episodes, our new episode of our Pilot's License, that's our bonus podcast series where we get to talk about comic book theme, cartoons, and animated shows. We'll have a new episode of that series dropping later this month as well. That'll be on, or this new episode will be about, it'll be about the 90s Fox Kids cartoon Silver Surfer, based on the comic book of the same name. That'll be our latest bonus episode that drops later this week. That and a whole lot more bonus content like episodes, interviews, etc. That lives on our Patreon community, patreon.com/theshortbox. I'll have a link to our Patreon community in the show notes. So if you want to check that out, we've got a ton of rewards and perks ready for you if you decide to go ahead and support the show and become a part of the Shortbox Elite. So yeah, hopefully you'll come back next week and hang out with us. But in the meantime, yo, take care of yourselves. Thank you so much for tuning in. We love you guys. We love the support we get from our listeners. And look, continue to make mine and yours Shortbox. Peace.